It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Bustin' Loose Baseball, hosted by Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer, gives you in-depth analytics and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome into Bustin' Loose Baseball. I'm Grant Paulson. I'm joined by Toby Altizer, producer Darris Dammer, making everything sound good for us. Lot to get into. Nats take 2 of 3 from the Dodgers. And Toby, to this point, 18 games in, I think you got to like how this team's playing. If you were reasonable with your expectations coming into the year, you didn't have any delusions of grandeur here. They're 8-10. They have blown a game in the ninth inning. They had another game get away with some questionable management last week. You flip that, you could pretty easily be 10-8 on the year. You're over 500, and you just took a series from L.A. You had a winning road trip coming back home. There's a lot to like about how things are going.
Yeah, I mean, even on a good baseball team, if you're going out west for a 3-series road trip, 9 games, you're taking on San Francisco for 3, then you're taking on Oakland for 3, then the Dodgers for 3, you know, you'd take 5-4 in a heartbeat, even if it's a really good team, much less a team that's kind of in a rebuild and trying to develop their guys. So I was impressed with their road trip overall, especially, you know, it's crazy to think about how disappointing that A series was because, you know, one decision here, one little thing here, and all of a sudden, you know, you're winning some of those ball games and you're not losing the series to the A's, but they end up bouncing right back. You've got a rookie on the mound making his debut in the opener against the Dodgers, and he pitches really well. And then Jake Irvin in the finale of the series pitches really well as well. And, you know, Corbin, as much as we like to rag on him, you know, we talk about it on this podcast some, you know, they need someone that eats innings, and he eats innings for them. And so, you know, in the second game of that series, obviously not great results from Corbin on the mound, but he also helped out the bullpen a little bit by giving you at least a little bit of length. So impressive win in that Dodgers series, because that's a really good baseball team where, you know, there's maybe, you know, one or two or three guys on the Nationals 26-man roster that you feel like could hang out and contribute for the Dodgers. And meanwhile, they took 2 of 3 from them.
Yeah, the Jake Irvin situation continues to develop favorably. Let's get into that. A developing situation. He went 6 shutout with 4 hits scattered, 1 walk and 6 strikeouts. And for the second time in as many starts, Davey yanked him at 6 innings and sub 75 pitches. So before we get into Irvin and how well he's pitched, let's just talk about that. I didn't love that Davey did it last time, but I'm not going to get too upset early in the season, whatever. For a second straight outing, when he's carving up an opponent, to be on the verge of a 7th inning, when you're sub 75 pitches, and to not let him break through. You know, you do it 5 days ago, that's one thing. You come back 5 days later, you get the opportunity again, and Davey goes, I'm still not going to let you pitch a 7th. And look, someone might look at the game and say, well, it worked. He got Garcia to face the lefties. Yeah, he walked the guy, but 2/3 of an inning. Then Harvey came in to finish the 7th. He threw the 8th. He was dominant in 20 pitches, and then Finnegan worked the 9th. But here's the problem. It's not just about winning and holding on to a shutout for a shutout win of the year and a 2-run lead. This is also about the viability, sustainability of the bullpen and trying not to overwork those guys and trying to make sure that Hunter Harvey isn't cooked by July. It's the second time, I believe, on this trip in the last few days that he's gone out and pitched an inning and a 3rd and had a couple up downs. And this was completely avoidable, in my opinion. So the question is, with a guy like Harvey who's had arm problems, not just, you know, in Washington, but before that in Baltimore, like, do you really want to continually ask him to get you four or five outs? And the answer should absolutely be no. So I didn't like the decision again from Davey on the 73-pitch yanking of a starting pitcher.
Yeah, and it's odd, too, because if you look at last year, when he started the year, he was kind of on that, you know, 70-pitch limit. But just looking back at the game logs last year, the fewest amount of pitches he threw, including in AAA, was 64 on April 14th, 65 on April 20th, and then it was up to 75, 75, 76, 77. But then basically his entire time in the major leagues, obviously it's a little further into the schedule when he got called up, but he was throwing 85, 90 pitches, even throwing over 100 pitches. So it's not as if he's a guy that's always sat around that 80 pitch mark like sometimes other starters around the league do. Now, he can go deep into ball games, and especially like today where he was kind of on cruise control. I mean, the similar thing in the A series, but you know, when you're on cruise control, and we've already talked about how taxed this bullpen has gotten, you would have liked to have seen him gotten the opportunity. And maybe it's just they're trying to protect him, and you know, they don't want him to go through the third time in the order and, you know, flirt with any danger there. And they're happy with him giving him six innings and they're just fine with it. And I don't know. To me, you need to let him at least try to grow. Like, we applauded this early on with the first home start for Mackenzie Gore. We applauded the fact that he sent Gore back out there. I think he was at 94 pitches and he tried to at least get through that seventh inning. It didn't work, but he at least gave him a chance. You got to at least give Jake Irvin a chance here, especially like we talked about with the bullpen. So I don't know. It's just a little bit frustrating. But to your point about Hunter Harvey as well, like, I don't want Davey to get in this comfortable habit, which it seems like it's still early in the season and he's already doing it, where I don't want him being a four out, five out, six out guy. He's a one inning reliever. And occasionally, if you're in a situation where, you know, you've only got two guys you trust, it's a high leverage situation against a good ball club, maybe then you can decide, all right, we're going to go four outs. So maybe today's a fine scenario, but he's already done this multiple times. So I don't love that, especially for a guy that dealt with injuries all throughout his career and even last year. So some questionable decisions by Davey. It worked out today, but they also got burned by it last week.
He's Toby Altizer. I'm Grant Paulson. This is Bustin' Loose Baseball. Now we could talk Jake Irvin a little bit more, because boy, has he been good. Three straight six inning outings for Irvin. You know, we're talking about length from Patrick Corbin or some of the veterans, right? I mean, he's given in, it should be seven innings a couple times, to be completely frank, but we're talking about 74 and 73 pitches to get 18 outs. One of the most efficient pitchers in the sport. The last couple times out is he's allowed one run over 12 innings, but his starts on the year, five innings, three runs, six innings, four runs, six innings, one run, and then six shutout today. He's now down to a 3-1 ERA in four starts, 23 innings, 20 strikeouts. Whip is at one on the nose. He has been fantastic. Really, really good. You look at his deeper dive breakdown today. Fastball at max was at 97 miles an hour, averaged 95.7. He threw mostly fastball, curveball, did throw some sinkers and some cutters as well. So, you know, you're looking at right around 82% of his pitches were fastball, curveball, and then he mixed in 14 of the other two offerings. But what I like is the fastball misses bats. You know, Pitching Ninja put out one of his fastballs he got a swing and miss on moving today. 38% of swings, 24 swings, were whiffs. Nine. He only had two other whiffs in the game, but 11 swings and misses, nine on the fastball, was a really, really good pitch for him up in the zone today.
Yeah, just an impressive outing overall. And even when you go back to his first two outings, I thought he pitched really well and then just ran into some hard luck toward the end and gave up some runs. So I think overall, Jake Irvin's been fantastic. And it's something where, I mean, this is a development success. We'll continue to see if he can keep it going. But I mean, last year he was, he filled a role, right? Like, he was an encouraging sign because the Nationals haven't developed pitching very much, especially a guy that's taken a little bit later on. And so seeing him come up and be able to contribute throughout the year in the rotation was encouraging. Now it's looking like a guy, we just thought this guy was like the fifth starter, and he's looking really good. Now, it's not like he's going to be an ace, but he looks like somebody that you can depend on to be that back end of the rotation guy, and he's been efficient too. You know, our guy Vic that produces the Nats games on, you know, our station 106.7 The Fan.
Slick Vic Ferreira.
We were deliberating today, and we were talking a lot about Jake Irvin, and the thing that impressed him the most was his efficiency. The fact that, you know, we're even having this conversation through six innings, he's at sub 75 pitches. That's not something you see with a lot of guys, even guys on this staff especially. I mean, you know, Mackenzie Gore, he's usually in the 90, 95, 100 pitch range by then. Josiah Gray, same thing. So the fact that he's even having the opportunity to consider going out there for the seventh, much less maybe even going out for the eighth if he has another quick inning, I think is really impressive for a guy that's that young. And like you said, basically a two-pitch pitcher like we kind of thought coming up. He's, you know, at least mixing in some other stuff, but he was very effective against a Dodgers lineup. And if you can make it work against the Dodgers, then you can probably make it work against anybody.
While we're talking about relievers, Hunter Harvey touched 99 in his four-out appearance. He's now got 17 strikeouts in 10 innings on the season with a whip at one on the nose. He's had one kind of crooked number outing he wants back. Otherwise, has been nearly flawless. Similarly, Kyle Finnegan, remember, blew the save. I think it was against the A's on the first trip of the year. Finnegan, a 3.2 ERA with nine appearances, but eight strikeouts and eight and a third. He had a productive 13-pitch save for the 32-year-old against the Dodgers as we record this podcast after the finale and win number two out of three. The game began with a C.J. Abrams solo home run. Leadoff batter, first hitter of the game, second pitch of the contest, and the superstar to be. The shortstop, the 23-year-old, drove a ball to deep center field over the wall. First time, I think, he's hit a home run that wasn't 400 feet. It was only 103 off the bat. Normally, he's up around 106 to 108, it feels like. But he's hitting 295. He's got a 1,000 OPS. He's now got five homers. He's homering. If you look at the numbers, five bolts and now 61 at-bats. He's homering every 11 ABs. He was homering every over 30 at-bats at a time last year. He's basically doing it at you know, to cut that pace at two-thirds. Really amazing, the start to the season with the power for C.J. Abrams.
Yeah, and it's pretty simple, Grant. Like, the easy thing, I was looking up a Baseball Savant today, just trying to figure out some various things about, you know, his success early on. And they talked about at the end of last year going into this year, I think Davey was even talking about it when we were down in West Palm Beach, about him being able to hit the fastball. And last year on fastballs, that means four-seamers, that means sinkers, cutters, all those variations of the fastball, he had a batting average of 249. He had a slug of 400. He hit eight of his home runs off of the fastball. It doesn't include all the stats today. When it hasn't fully updated on Baseball Savant, but he hit his home run today off a fastball. That means that's four home runs already this year off the fastball. And again, these numbers are actually going to be better because of the fact that it hasn't factored in today's game. But 367 batting average, 800 slug just off the fastball. Now, you know, there's other stuff we can work on, but this is so simple. If he can hit the fastball, you know, it just solves so many issues. And so that was something he struggled a bit with last year at times. And to see him come out and for them to be talking about, all right, this is the place that you need to see improvement. And early on, you're seeing that improvement. I think it's encouraging for two things. One, obviously, that's encouraging to see that he's fixed something that was maybe a bit of a weakness. But it also shows that this dude works. He is working hard because that's not something you just turn around overnight. But the way that he has already come out and destroyed the fastballs early this season, I think just shows that he is a rising superstar, because even if there is a weakness, he's going to find it and he's going to work on it and he's going to get good at fixing it.
Yeah, I mean, look at the exit velocities, right, bro? I mean, there's just not that many guys in the sport that can routinely barrel the ball at the velocity he does at his size. I mean, it's a special package. There's a reason he was a top 10 pick. There's a reason he was an elite level prospect. It's all kind of coming to fruition right now. It's way too early in the year to have this conversation, but I was thinking about this today while watching the game. I'm salty that Mookie Betts has moved to shortstop because I think it keeps C.J. Abrams from having a really good chance to be the all-star game starter at shortstop, if you think about it. If you look right now at the shortstop position in baseball, his 10.14 OPS is second to Mookie Betts, who's at 11.37. It's better than Bobby Witt, who's been unbelievable. He's in the American League. The next best shortstop in the National League's probably either Ellie De La Cruz, who's got five home runs as well, or Orlando Arcia, who's got a 970 ops and is hitting about 380. But for the most part, you look at the best shortstops in the game, right? It's Bobby Witt or Gunnar Henderson you hear a lot about. Maybe Anthony Volpe is off to a great start. Like, C.J. Abrams is playing better right now than any other National League shortstop not named Mookie Betts. And again, it's very early. It's April 17th. But it's one of those things where about a month from now, they're going to start passing out ballots for people to vote on the All-Star game. You know, he could possibly be in the conversation to start the game if Mookie was still in the outfield. Hopefully, he keeps playing at this level and he makes his first All-Star appearance this year.
Yeah, and the crazy part, Grant, is the thing that he's best at, stealing bags, he hasn't done a whole lot of because he hasn't had a whole lot of chances because he's getting doubles and triples and homers. So many extra base hits, so his OPS is high. And he hasn't been able to steal bags yet. And that's something that's going to come when he just, you know, gets a single and he's just, you know, he doesn't get the double or the triple. He just has to settle for a single or even a walk. He hasn't had a steal outside of the one game. He stole three bags, I believe, in Cincinnati, right? So he's going to get going on the base paths as well because Lane Thomas, I think, already has eight. Joey Meneses stole a base as we record on Wednesday. He stole a base today. Like, everyone's running. And yet the guy that we expected to lead the team only has three from one game. So I'm excited to see once he gets everything going. Obviously, the power's been awesome early and the extra base hits. But I'm excited to see him on the base pass stealing some bags soon, too.
One other guy we should call attention to just based on the exploits of this Dodgers series win. How about Jesse Winker? If you look at on-base percentage in Major League Baseball right now, Jesse Winker is up top. He came into the game today, and he leaves the game still, the number one player in Major League Baseball in on-base percentage at .485. That happens when you're hitting .365. He also has drawn 9 walks against 12 strikeouts. 9 walks is the same number as, you know, guys who have been around the league lead, right? You're talking about like Justin Turner and Jose Altuve. He's been very selective, very patient. He's not doing it with the back of the baseball card people are running from. He's got the 2 homers, including the 9th inning game tire on this road trip. What an awesome start to the year. I think a lot of people, and I might have been one of them, if I'm being honest, would have told you that Eddie Rosario with his power maybe is the guy that helps them in the outfield more. But Winker, who has stolen 2 bags, who's hit 2 homers, who's number one in all of baseball and on-base percentage, has been the best pleasant surprise of the beginning of the year.
100%. And last year, he was a huge disappointment, but you realize that he just wasn't healthy, right? We talked about this with Hassel in spring training. He wasn't healthy last year, and that's why you saw some of the numbers dip. I think that's what happened with Jesse Winker. Last year, hit sub 200, wasn't very impressive, had a slug of only 247, dealing with a back issue. He comes back this year just kind of thrilled to have an opportunity to play, and he has been fantastic for the Nationals, not just at the plate, but defensively as well. And he's one of those guys where we've talked about Rizzo making these sorts of moves where it's just a low-risk sort of move that you can maybe flip at the deadline, and it looks like Jesse Winker is one of those guys. I think they were trying to hopefully hit on one of the two with him and Rosario, and it looks early on like Rosario's kind of eh, and it looks like Jesse Winker is going to be something that might bring you something at the deadline.
Yeah, you want to hit on a lottery ticket, you might want to play a couple of them, and that feels like what they did at the outfield. I also think when they bring up James Wood, it's very possible he plays center field because that's been the position where they're getting, you know, maybe the least production in terms of penciling things in moving forward. You know, you're seeing Jacob Young without Victor Robles. They're moving guys around. They're playing, you know, Rosario out of position a little bit occasionally there. I could see an outfield when James Wood comes up of Winker in left, Wood in center, and Lane Thomas in right, along those lines that you were referencing. Luis Garcia, got to pay him some love. We've done this on a couple straight pods. I feel like I beat up on Luis Garcia pretty good, and I think it's mostly been deserved. I think I was in a group that included Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez in me being over Luis Garcia. They gave him one last shot. And boy, is he making the most of it here. 15 for his first 51 at the plate. That's a .294 clip. I hit a home run the other day. But more important than the .811 OPS starting the season or being a little more selective, which, by the way, I think early last year he was doing that as well, if you remember. You know, at the beginning of the season, he got off to a pretty strong start offensively, and he was spitting on some pitches, and it looked like he'd made some major leaps offensively. And then as the year went on, he got back into some of the bad habits, and he kind of became the same guy. But you know, if you look at the metrics, the advanced analytics, you know, for like ex-WOBA, 78th percentile, ex-batting average, 74th, ex-slug, 92nd, barrel percentage, 97th in baseball right now, hard hit percentage, 94th percentile, sweet spot percentage, 63rd, whiff percentage, 67th. So he's made strides, and he's doing some good things, but where I'm really impressed, damn if he didn't have an unbelievable game against the Dodgers defensively in the matinee series winner. His defense was one of the biggest reasons why they won the game. He made two diving stops. He showed some range and got to a couple balls. I'm not sure I thought he would. Luis Garcia, friends, what a game. Have a series, kid.
Yeah, fantastic series for him, and it was really cool to see. It's one of those things, though, I want to keep seeing it because everything we've seen at the plate, we've seen him do before. It's just, can he continue to do it? He, like you said, last year he had good stretches and then he'd get back into bad habits. I mean, last year he had a 5-hit ball game in Kansas City and then didn't have a hit the rest of the series and kind of struggled after that. So he's shown you his potential plenty of times. Now it's about continuing to do it. And he's done it so far at the plate this year. But the big thing, like you said, is the defense. Like, we haven't seen him make defensive plays like that in a long time, if ever. Last year, I thought at the beginning of the year, he played some solid defense, and then it kind of went downhill. But so far this year, he's played really good defensively, making plays that, frankly, I didn't know he could make. You know, so it's really cool to see that. Hopefully, it's something that continues on, because I want Mike Rizzo to have to make the hard decisions. I'd rather not you not make them for him by being bad or not doing your job correctly. I'd rather you make him have to make the hard decisions, whether it's a trade, whether it's moving someone to a different spot, whatever it is. But the way Luis Garcia is playing, you know, we talked about Lipscomb and all these, you can't take Garcia out of the lineup. He's playing so well, and that's a good thing.